recorded.
For Moses, Romans 10, 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. I'll just read verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Father, we thank you for your word. As we continue in Romans, we pray that our understanding would be enlightened. The Holy Spirit would take these words and impress them upon our hearts and minds. We pray for each listening ear, that we might be Bereans as we search the scriptures. And we thank you in advance for the fruit and edification that comes from the reading and believing of your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're almost down to the end of the chapter. But we looked at last week when Moses used that quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 28, where he's presenting the nation of Israel with the law. He's given them the commandment before they get into the promised land. And let's go back there to see what he says about it, because Paul uses this quotation. And what he's doing, Paul, is showing the importance of the word. He's showing the importance of not just the word, but our response to it, our responsibility of faith. And he uses this this quotation from Deuteronomy. So let's go back there and look at that again. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We know Moses was the lawgiver, right? And more importantly, he was entrusted with God's word. He was entrusted with distributing God, or how about this, dispensing God's word to the nation. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know what, we won't read that. Let's just go over to 30 for time's sake. Just get right to the verse. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it to us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. And then he goes on to talk about the curses that will happen if they don't. But the key is verse 15. It's not far away, but Moses is asking them. He said, it's right before you. I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And how he did that was simply rehearsing the words of the commandments in their ears. They had a choice to to believe this and to do it, to hear it and to do it, or to hear it and not to do it. You know, that was one of the biggest blessings, I would say, or the biggest, the greatest gift that we've had, that we have, is people, you know, they talk about the choice, the gift of choice. It's the greatest gift that God has given us. And that is, Louise, that we have the ability to choose what we believe. God has put the responsibility of faith on us. He does not make us reject, and he does not make us believe. We are responsible for our reaction, response, responsibility to his word. And this is even back in Moses' day. We would go back farther than that, even into the garden, where the Lord, he asked Adam, "Hast thou taken of the fruit whereof I commanded thee not to eat?" And now Adam did say this. He said, "You made me do it." Well, no, he didn't blame God. I just said that for effect. But he did refuse responsibility. He didn't say, "God, you made me do it," but he said, "It's the woman you gave me. She made me do it." But notice the Lord, he said, "The tree that I commanded you." If he had not personal accountability, then why would God say that? And then he asked the woman the same question, which means she had accountability also. And he even asked the serpent, which means everybody is responsible to God and his word. Nobody shirks God's authority. And we might look at a verse earlier that talks about that. Did somebody make a comment? Okay. So we see here in Moses, he said, "For this commandment is before you. It's not hidden. It's not obscure. It's not veiled. It's very clear. And it's when you hear it and read it, you are accountable to it." And that's what Paul, back to Romans 10, he uses that verse as an example. And he's explaining to the reader, the Romans, and us, how it is that, number one, the nation did not become the nation that God wanted them to become. And how the Gentiles became a part of his purpose and plan after they had been set aside. And Paul says it, Moses described it. Moses, you know, that word is, Moses wrote this down. He wrote about the righteousness which is of the law. In chapter 2 and 3, Paul says that the man that doeth these things shall live by them. Well, we've already established this. Nobody's doing the law. Maybe the law invented in their mind, but they're not doing what God requires, not the law that God laid out. The very fact that God has a standard of righteousness that you can't meet, none of us can meet. The very fact that he has a standard of righteousness that cannot be met in your personal efforts would cause you to call out for help. Like the rich young ruler said, who then, like those disciples, who could be saved? God has made salvation impossible if you want to keep the law. And Paul, he said, Moses described it, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. No one. None righteous, no, not one. The law was written that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. And we looked at that last week, how Paul takes that quotation from Moses. Now, Moses is talking about the commandment. He says, don't go to heaven to look for the commandment. Don't go across the sea to look for the commandment. It's nigh unto thee, because I'm reading it to you. I'm rehearsing it in your ears this day so you can make a choice. And Paul uses that same quote, but he says that, like Moses was talking about the commandment, I'm talking about Christ. So don't say, who shall bring Christ, who shall ascend to bring Christ down, or who shall descend to the deep to bring Christ up again. You know, he has come. Look at Romans 15, just flip over a couple of pages. Christ has come in the flesh. He has fulfilled, well, let's read this. Romans 15, verse 1, start there. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You remember when we were kind of talking about Christ when he was in his fulfilling his ministry, that all the verses, the actions that he performed, the things that Christ did on earth, and in the scripture would say this was done that it might be fulfilled. And this was done that the saying might be fulfilled. Everything that Christ did on earth was a fulfillment of scripture. He was the walking fulfillment of scripture. That is what God required. The righteousness of the law, he fulfilled. The requirements of the law, his son fulfilled. 15:3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. He's saying, you know, the people that didn't like you, God, I took the hit. Go ahead. You know, when Paul said, when the Lord stopped Paul on Damascus Road, and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Well, he had never seen Jesus. But he said, you know what? When you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's how closely identified Christ is with his people when he was on earth, which is exactly a reflection of how close he was identified with the Father when he was on earth. He was the representative, Blake the image, if you will. And he says to them, that verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Verse 8. That's what we want. Now I say, this is Paul, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now, that's the verse I want. He was a minister of the circumcision. For the truth of God to confirm the promises. When everything that God wanted that nation to be, Christ, he comes as the head of the nation. In John chapter 1, said that he came unto his own. That means, you know what, from not just Jerusalem, but from Dan to Beersheba. That's his own. That's, and the people in it. That kingdom, that land, it belonged to him. It was rightfully his. Because God was going to give it to him. Just like Abraham, when he took Abraham out and said, look around, that's yours. Took Isaac out and said, look around, that's yours. Took Jacob, look around, that's yours. Took David, look around, that's yours. Solomon, look around, that's yours. Jesus comes, he looked around, he said, this is mine. And really he said, this is the fulfillment. It's time to make it not just mine, but ours. The nation, it's our time. Isn't that what he said? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They didn't have to look for it, did they? The kingdom, he could have walked around with the sign that said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Which, you know, ironically, he did walk around with a sign that said the kingdom, with a lot of signs that said the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Sure did.
All right, chapter 10, Romans, back to 10. But he came to confirm the promises. He came to confirm the word of God. He was the word of God. Have you ever heard this statement that Jesus Christ is the express member of the Godhead from Hebrews?
Yeah, express image of his person.
That's when you express something, you like John says, you declare it. You are showing openly what it is, the contents of it, what it consists of. So Philip says, show us the Father. And he says, really, Philip? What can I show you that you haven't seen already? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And not only that, he's coming to fulfill everything that the Father wants. So in 10, when Paul says, when he uses that to talk about the word of faith, he's saying to those people, and even to us today, that you don't have to look for a sign now. You don't have to try to find out where God's word is. It's accessible now to everybody. Because not only has Christ come and fulfilled what he has come to fulfill, it's been recorded. So when he says to them, it's don't say who shall go up to heaven or who shall descend to get it. Christ is now seated at the right hand of God. He won't be running up and down now, making cameo appearances to fulfill our doubt. You say, what? Cameo, you know, you watch a show and a star shows up just to support the movie. Well, Christ won't be doing that because you don't believe what you read and you want him to show up and Lord, give me a sign. If this is really what I should be doing, show me a sign. Let me know if this is really you. How am I going to do this? Now, you'll be surprised. You say, well, I don't do that. Maybe you don't. But you'd be surprised how many people still not only are not familiar with what they read, because we don't read that much, but you'd be surprised how many people still have God in a genie concept. That is, you know, they sit down and pray and they hope he pops up and reveals his will. And they don't know is that is you're bringing him down again. Or they say, you know, bringing him up again. That work is done. Now it's recorded. The word of faith which we preach is nigh unto thee. Just like it was nigh unto them. Paul said in verse 8, 10:8. But what saith it? What saith what?
The scriptures.
What's it? The scriptures. What saith it? What saith the scripture? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's the key right there. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which Paul said, which we preach. Moses preached the word of Duke. And if the man was sincere, he would try to do those things, wouldn't he? Now, I think a couple of weeks ago, we talked about even with the law and its requirements that could not be met, the Lord instituted the sacrificial system in the law that covered all their shortcomings. Once a year, there was a sacrifice all offered that covered all the transgressions that they made. They called it the Day of Atonement, the Day of Reconciliation, where the Lord said, yeah, I know you done messed up 359 days. Now here's a man who's going to go in and you confess all that you've done. And he's going to impute your sins to this lamb. And he's going to offer that lamb for you. And it will atone till I see you again next year. Now, Paul said this. Look at Galatians chapter 3. You know why they did that? Year after year after year? Because that's all that God had revealed. That is the way they had to approach him. Now, Paul said this, Galatians chapter 3. And verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. What does that tell you about the law?
It can't save you.
It can't save you. It cannot give you. And I'll make a caveat on that. The law couldn't save you because it was not that it couldn't save you. It was working with you.
Weak through the flesh.
Right, and that it was weak through the flesh. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's the problem right there. The reason why you couldn't do the righteous requirements of the law is that you're under the effects, control, domination of sin. You are in Adam. You may say, I really want to do this. And you may really try to do it. But one problem is your heart is not in it the way God says it needs to be in it. You say, well, I'm really committed on Wednesday and Sunday. No, he says, I want it from Sunday to Sunday. All the time, all day long, every day. And you say, well, that's not realistic. Exactly. Not with you. It's not realistic. Right. That's because you have to conclude with God. You have to confess with God that you are under sin. Now, verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded. What is the scripture anyway?
The word of God.
It originated with who?
God.
So when the scripture says all are under sin, what is really being said?
God is saying that.
God is saying that, look, all are under sin. So you get a guy, Ed, he comes up and he says, well, not me. What do you say to that man?
You poor sucker.
You know, let God be true.
Oh, yes. Very good.
And let him fill in the other half. So,
amen.
I'm not calling you a liar, but read this verse. Let God be true and every man a liar. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See that, Louise? Given to them that believe.
Yeah.
God is saying this. If you believe this about the Son, he says, I will give you something that you couldn't work for. I'll give you the righteousness that I've always required. How many times you heard this, Johnny? Says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And they put that on you to, you know, to make you, you know, put you under a yoke where you got to live super holy all the time. But that holiness and that righteousness has already been fulfilled by the Son for you. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. You know why those, when they went through the law, why they offered those sacrifices? Because it had not been revealed yet. What had not been revealed yet? Something else that they were to believe. Or, Jenny said this last week, someone else that they were to believe. Or someone else they were to believe in and to believe on. And that someone is Christ. Verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto him, that we might be justified by faith. And that's where we are now. We're in Romans, where the law, Moses, is to bring you up to him. He said that in Deuteronomy 18. He said, the Lord is going to raise up a prophet like unto me. He says, him you have to hear. Otherwise, I'm paraphrasing, otherwise you will be cut off from the people. John chapter 1. When the Lord shows up, he begins his earthly ministry. When he begins confirming the word, when the word begins to confirm the word, John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not. Keep that in mind. He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. You know, when he said that prophet, they should have known that that prophet was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They couldn't put the Deuteronomy 18 together. But they knew John. He was saying something that they weren't saying. Verse, it's 22. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered and said, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. I'm going to read this just to go to the next verse. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's using terminology that they should know exactly what John means. Well, he said it, the Lamb of God. That should take them all the way back to the sacrificial system. The law was a schoolmaster that should have led them right up to the Lamb. The Lamb, T-H-E, capital T-H-E. This is he, verse 30, of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Uh-oh. Now, that was a head-scratcher. If you're listening to John, John was born 6 months before Jesus. And he's saying, he is before me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, John chapter 1, that before the Word was with God, it was God, and it became flesh. He's always been before me. You know how John could say that? Because he was a prophet. It had been revealed to him. But when he said that, listen, everything about Jesus Christ should have been guidepost to direct them to him. But you know what they said? Since we're in John, verse 35. And again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? That, you know what? This is the stumbling block principle. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. You come and check it out. And you be a Berean. Verse, look, John chapter, flip over to chapter 3. We looked at this. Nicodemus comes to him, and he comes by night. Why is he coming by night? You know, and look, he's a Pharisee. See, William, those are the ones, you know what? They were the teachers. Like Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the, I was number one. They prided themselves in searching the scriptures, teaching the scriptures. And Nicodemus, he comes to him at night. And he says, verse 2 or 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And then he gives Nicodemus the information. We're not going to repeat that. And he's showing Nicodemus, I'm not just, the part that I like is this. He says, I'm not just a teacher, Nicodemus. I'm more than that. And he says, he proves that because he says, no man, in 13, no man hath ascended into heaven, up to heaven, verse 13, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Why do you think he gave Nicodemus that little riddle, if you will?
He was declaring he was God, that he was omnipresent.
He wanted to show, right, he wanted to show Nicodemus that I am, just like John said, I'm before him. He wants to show them that God, you know, the whole book of John, when you look at the chapters in John, the Lord is always talking about coming down from heaven. Chapter 6, then we're going to get back up and get sidetracked. Chapter 6, verse, let's see, 28. then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you what? Yeah. Believe on him whom he has sent. Who do you think Jesus is talking about?
Himself.
They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Sound familiar? He said, look, don't ask for a sign. You're looking at me. So, if what I'm doing and saying is not impressing on your heart and mind, you are in unbelief. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. No, they're asking him, look, we know that they had a sign from heaven. Well, what are you going to show? Well, like this, Lord says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. You know, that's like the little joker and the big joker. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Now, William, you know, William, Johnny, when you play spades, y'all know what spades is?
I know what spades is, but I don't.
That's, you know, the little joker is small, you know, and the big joker is bigger than all.
Okay.
So, if you, anyway.
Ace of spades.
Yeah, higher than that.
Okay.
It's a cultural thing, and I guess we'll talk about it.
Okay.
But he says, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he that what? Cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Eating and drinking, Karen.
Yep.
But, 36, but I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, I came down to do what? The will of him that sent me. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You know what? There it is, Ed. They're stumbling again over that stumbling stone.
Would this be the original cognitive dissonance?
They're stumbling over that stumbling stone. They hear him, but they said, listen. Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. That's faith. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. And the bread that I... give, he says, is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Give us his flesh to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Contrast that with Moses, the man that doeth them shall live by them. And the Lord says, he that eateth and drinketh of me shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And these things were done. And he said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words, you know, and the Lord is showing them, he said, look, I am not I'm different. I'm different from them. I am him who was to come. I am the Christ. The people that believed, they knew it. Okay, Romans chapter 10. I'm like really sidetracked on that. But he's showing them, Paul, is this. The lesson is over. The schoolmaster has done his job. Either you fail or you go on to the next grade. And they stumbled and failed. They failed. And some, they passed and went on to the next grade. 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And the word of faith is this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, how many times you heard that? You know what? That's it. 10:9, Romans 10:9. You got to confess. Now, that's not a secret ingredient that we, you know, it simply means that you need to agree, assent, confirm, say the same thing that God is saying or that the Word is saying. It's, you know what, when they stopped John and he said, I confessed and denied not. When it comes time for them to believe, even in Paul's day right here, it was time for them to make a confession. Mark chapter 8. He says this. Mark chapter 8, verse. Now, you know, not only is the Lord doing all these signs and miracles and wonders that they can witness, he's also, he gives them scriptures, expounds on the scriptures, parables that he gives the disciples. Mark 8:27. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? What do you say? What's your confession? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called him, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto him, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You see, you know, we're talking real time here. You couldn't be like Nicodemus. You couldn't come in at night and say, "We all know you're a teacher sent from God," while in the daytime you're rejecting him. That's not how it works, Nicodemus. You have to go back to the synagogue and tell them, "I believe that that's him of whom Moses and the prophets did speak." But you know what they said? "If we believe him, then all the people are going to leave us." Do you remember that? They said, which one of us, Pharisees, which one of us believe on him? Leadership, you know, the doctors, the scribes. You know, when you talk about Paul's distinct message, is who else believe that? You know, T.D. Jakes don't preach that. John MacArthur don't preach that. John Piper, he doesn't agree with that. And the list goes on. Joel Osteen, he don't preach that. Jim Swaggy don't preach that. No name drop. You know, that's boy, that'll make it right. You know, you're gonna always be in a small remnant, and what makes the difference is whether you are going to stand up for the truth or not. And that line of demarcation comes with you saying the same thing, not only that the verses say, but what the Lord is saying. A couple more verses. Flip over to Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 11. Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of the faith, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Witness, Jenny, before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things. You know what quickeneth means? To give life. And he's telling Timothy this because he knows that being a witness, Jenny, what's next for him?
Off to the head.
He's more than likely he's going to follow suit. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. What was Jesus's good he witnessed a good confession before Pilate. In John 18, he says, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, he witnessed a good confession before Pilate. Okay, John 18. I guess this will be the last verse. I guess. John 18 verse 32. 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Crucifixion. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? He said, in other words, how are you coming to this conclusion? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered the Jews, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. First Advent statement. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end, here's his confession, to this end was I born. Where did he come from?
Heaven.
Where did he come from?
Heaven.
He said, I came into the world for this very reason. To be a king? He said, no, not yet. But for this end came unto the world, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's faith. He says, if any man will do his will, he shall know that whether the doctrine is from me or is from heaven. Now I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what the Lord said. He said, when you hear me, you'll know if I'm just saying something or if this is from heaven. You know, when they, in Luke chapter 4, when he got in the synagogue and closed the book, and they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, wait a minute. Isn't that him that came down from above?
Where's he getting this?
No, you know what? They didn't say that, Ed. They said, is this not Joseph? Is this not Joseph's son? Yeah, and then they said, you know what? How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? I guess if I wrote it, I would know what's in it, right? Yes. Y'all remember a movie, we'll get back to school, where Rodney Dangerfield, he was taking a test, and the teacher told him to make a summary of this poet, and what did he feel when he wrote it? So he was a rich man, and he went in and hired the man who wrote it. And he says, tell me what you felt when you wrote this. And he told him everything, and he took it to class, and he got an F on the paper. And she's like, the lady, she's like, by the way, you know nothing about this poet. And he's like, whoa, what? You know, which means that she knew nothing about this poet. But anyway, that's... Back to Romans, and then we'll close out there. Did I finish in John? Oh, yeah. He said he came to bear witness to the truth. Thank you. And so this is where we are, is making that confession, agreeing with the record that he is who he said he is. He did come from where he said he came from, which means that either you are responding in faith or you're not. And like I said, either that law lesson was learned or you failed that class. And that's what Paul is saying, that this is in verse 10. We'll stop at the next verse 11. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not. And my signal says my connection is unstable. So I am.
You're back.
Am I cool?
You're back. Yeah, you're
okay.
Back.
Okay. Or the connection was being unstable. So, but we're done there. We're going to pick up again in verse 11 next week, verse 10 next week, and look at some of these instances where they were ashamed. And go on to the end of the chapter. So we'll stop there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for reading and hearing and the believing of it. We pray that as we do read and believe, that if there's areas where we are weak in our belief, that the reading and rehearsing of it would strengthen our unbelief. And we just thank you in advance for the fruit that comes from it. The reading and believing of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.